The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno and Shaka Hislop. We also welcome Luis Garcia to the conversation. Well, Barcelona are in Vegas at the moment, hoping to win some money, probably. Adrian Healy sat down exclusively with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang to talk about Lewandowski's arrival.
Well, Pierre, thank you so much for taking the time. Welcome to Las Vegas and the heat, by the way.
Thank you.
Forgive us if we start with the headline item and the big news that you're going to be reunited with Robert Lewandowski for Barcelona. Yes. Tell us what you first thought of when you heard that news.
Oh, I mean, I was really excited because I know him well because we played together in Dortmund and we had some nice time over there. So yeah, I was just happy when this was official, we reunited and we had some fun words about the past, but I'm really happy because this is how Barcelona will compete with great strikers, and this is all about this club.
You did have an amazing year together at Dortmund, scored 44 goals between you. That was 8 years ago. What's it going to look like, the two of you playing together for Barcelona?
I mean, we will see. Obviously, I think we have now more experience, so maybe we can do better than the past in Dortmund. I'm sure about that, and for sure, personally, I will try to give my best, and I'm sure he will do it. We hope that we will have better numbers than in the past.
Barcelona, Pierre, have been very busy in this transfer window, particularly when it comes to the forward line. Has Xavi, the coach, talked to you about his vision for the team this year and what it's going to look like?
Yes, a little bit. I think he was talking to all of us that we have to compete this year to win titles and trophies, obviously. So of course, when we talk about trophies, we need a competitive team. So that's why we are a lot of strikers, but obviously also a lot of midfielders and defenders. I think this is the way to do if we want to achieve something this season.
You've played under some great managers, lots of different managers in your career. Jurgen Klopp, Arsene Wenger, Thomas Tuchel. Tell us a little bit about Xavi. What's it been like playing for him?
Yeah, it's been a really crazy 6 months. I enjoyed a lot since I arrived here in Barcelona. And Xavi, everyone knows that he's been one of the best players in the world. But also as a coach, his vision on the pitch, it's crazy. He wants the Barca to play how Barca has to play. So keep the ball and play a great football, and also playing forward and try to score goals. So I'm enjoying really since I'm here.
This front line you're putting together is fearsome. And Dembele is another player who recently re-signed with Barcelona. He's had an interesting time, had some ups and downs with Barcelona. What does Dembele, another former teammate of yours, bring to Barcelona?
Definitely is one of the best players I ever played with. I'm sure about that because his quality is something crazy. Every time I play with him, I enjoy on the pitch. And I'm really happy that he re-signed. Everyone was a bit scared because we didn't know if he will re-sign or not. But at the end, he did it because I'm sure he knows that Barcelona is one of the best club in the world. So this is the place to be. And he's doing great. And hopefully this season he can even show more than what he did till now.
Yeah. Looking at what Real Madrid did last year, winning the league, winning the Champions League, winning it all. Does that provide extra motivation this season?
Definitely yes. Definitely yes. We have that motivation. We want to go for everything. We want to go for everything, and this is why I think the club did an incredible summer in terms of new players, and yeah, we will compete for everything. And as you said, yeah, the motivation is there.
You have always done really well against Real Madrid, whoever you've played for. What is it about playing against Real Madrid for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always exciting playing against great teams. So, yeah, especially when you play for Barcelona, you have extra motivation. It's the Clásico, everyone is watching. So you have to show. You have to show that you are ready. And yeah, I did it as well in the past with Dortmund. I think I have something special with them.
Okay, Luis. I get it. He's saying the right things. However, if I'm at a job and then someone comes in and brings a real TV presenter, I'm not going to be like, oh, that's great, this is going to make the team better. Surely you're thinking, oh, blooming heck, Lewandowski's here now. I'm not going to be starting hardly any of these games, as opposed to when I came here, when I joined Barcelona from Arsenal, it was all about starting and being the man in the middle.
Yeah, and if he's not in the middle on the wide areas, maybe I have a chance on the left side, because we've seen also Aubameyang playing with two up front, or maybe playing a little bit wider, but it's still, because he's going to find a lot of competition in the both wide areas. He's got Ansu Fati, he's got Rafinha, he's got Dembele, he's got a lot of players that they're going to be playing on the wide area, Ferran Torres. So, yeah, of course, he's happy because he's a friend, because he played together, but I'm sure that his main target is to play as many minutes as possible. It's true that the season is going to be very long, that the rotation are going to be compulsory if you want to keep that high intensity that allows you to compete for every single trophy. But the main player is going to be Lewandowski. The club has made a big effort to bring him. He's one of the most important strikers, number nine, that is at the moment in Europe. It's still, I think, that 2-3 years where he can give a lot to this Barcelona side. So, yeah, I'm sure that he's happy because he's there. But in the other side, he knows that he's going to have to fight a lot to try to get minutes.
What's that like, Shaq? From a goalkeeper, it must be even worse.
From a goalkeeper's perspective, it's awful because there's one position, nothing you can do in terms of formation.
Yeah, you can play in the
addresses
that.
at least, you know, with in Aubameyang's case, he's thinking, well, I had this partnership with Lewandowski, maybe that's the way Xavi goes. But yeah, it's not a great position to be in for Aubameyang, because if you're playing with one out-and-out striker through the middle, it's going to be Lewandowski. And unless you decide to rotate through the cups or whatever it may be, as long as he's fit, he's going to start. So for Aubameyang, it's where do I fit in? Do I come in for cover for Lewandowski, or do I come in for cover for one of the guys who may very well start out wide? Or is it that he just changes formation because we're down a goal or whatever it may be? Whichever way, when you're a player like Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, with his quality, with his reputation, to play second fiddle in that manner is not easy to accept.
Now, what's it like, Ali?
Well, and the real concern for Aubameyang and the real situation that he has in front of him is the fact that, okay, Lewandowski is going to play ahead of me. So that's one guy that I have to account for. Let's say that I think I can find myself a position in a wide area. So let me get to the back of that line. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. So I have to be behind Ansu Fati, and I have to be behind Dembele and Ferran Torres and Rafinha. So it's a shorter line behind Lewandowski,
right?
A longer line behind the other guys, but you have a better chance from that longer line to get on the field than you do with Lewandowski. The only way that Aubameyang gets on the field consistently through the middle is if Lewandowski gets injured.
Right.
And if you're a Barcelona fan, you don't want that.
No.
However, and here's where it's glass half full. Not for Aubameyang, but for Barcelona fans. You look at one of the big questions, and perhaps the only big question that Real Madrid have in front of them is, what happens if Karim Benzema gets injured?
Mm-hmm.
There is no answer.
Well, Eden Hazard is the obvious answer.
There is no answer, right? There is no answer. There is no option for you. You can make the argument for Eden Hazard. Go ahead and do so at your peril. Aubameyang is a true answer for Barcelona. If something were to happen to Lewandowski, Aubameyang continues to be a guy that you know is going to score goals for you. You saw that towards the end of last year and the difference that he made for this club. He's not going to want to hear that. But if you're Xavi, I think you're glad that you have this problem. You're glad that you have these issues where you can rotate players in and out because you have an abundance of talent. Other teams in La Liga do not have this problem. He does.
The concern, though, maybe in this specific incident is that we saw Aubameyang struggling not to be the man at Arsenal. And we know what happened there regarding disciplinary issues. Would there be a concern that he wouldn't just be settling to play in the Copa del Rey matches or against Getafe when it came to the big games in the Champions League? He's got to sit on the bench. It's going to be a big question of where he's at mentally going into this season as well, isn't it, Luis?
Yeah, definitely is one of the main issues. But I think, and trying to be as most respectful to Arsenal players, that when you arrive to Barcelona and you look to one side and you say, I'm not playing because it's Lewandowski in my position, and I'm going to complain. No, I can't complain. It's Lewandowski. Or I want to play in the right side where is Dembele or is Rafinha that cost 75 million. I can't complain because it's Rafinha. So I think when you are surrounded by players that you think in the bottom of yourself, you know that you can deliver more things. Yeah, you can complain maybe, or you can go to talk to Xavi and say, listen, I think that I can deliver more things than what the players are playing at the moment. But when you are in front of true big stars, when you are in front of players who are going to deliver it for sure, you wait for your time and you are ready. Because you never know, just Ali just mentioned, if Lewandowski gets injured, he's not a player who gets injured quite often, but it can happen because if you play him a lot, he's a player who has got already an age and he's not going to be ready to play at the highest intensity that Xavi wants this Barcelona to play, with pressure, with high intensity up front, trying to make quick transitions. He's not going to be able to play all the games. So you have a player who is ready to play. So if you give him minutes, I think he's going to understand and he's going to be ready to get the opportunity.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Just a reminder, extra time is always available on our YouTube channel. Everyone's going to upset Cristiano Ronaldo fans.
Oh, no.
When you look at today's extra time, because everyone says that Brazilian Ronaldo was better in his prime. That will go down well.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
It had been a slow pre-season, hadn't it, for Darwin Nunez, Liverpool's multi-million dollar striker. But I tell you what, he shut up all his critics with four goals in a 5-0 victory against Leipzig. Where's the rematch without Darwin? tweeted out Leipzig, that guy is a beast. And it's good that we got Luis Garcia on.
Oh, why is that?
Comments that he made about Darwin Nunez after seeing him in his opening two pre-season friendlies got you a lot of attention, didn't it, Luis, in the UK as it was picked up, because you said that he needs to work harder. Hey, listen to you. You're the inspiration for this performance.
No, I'm glad that gave that such a big note, boys. But definitely, there's something that everybody saw in the first couple of days. And we all knew that when he arrived to Liverpool, the way that Liverpool plays, everybody has to work harder. Everybody have to give something different. Because Jurgen Klopp showed during the past 5-6 year that if you are not ready to bring the standards higher that the players are in the field, you're not going to have minutes. And that's what happened with Darwin. Arrived in the first couple of games, he didn't have the rhythm. You could see that the intensity of the training were very, very high, so he needed to cope with it. But I think that no one doubted that he's one of the best strikers in Europe. He showed it last year. And the only thing that he needed is just to adapt to the new system, adapt to a new club, a new culture. And, well, he showed it in the last game, scoring four goals.
J,
just a perfect scenario for him. Mm-hmm. You know, people just starting to whisper, mm-hmm. shows like us, not a lot to talk about. So we're talking, Luis is having a go at him, you know.
Unnecessarily so.
And then you go and bang in four and put in the, it's just and, like, phew.
And it's a detail. And just a small detail, but I think that makes a big difference. Penalty kick happens, he's given the ball, go ahead and take it. And I think what's even more important is that he takes the penalty kick, the goalkeeper actually gets a touch on it, but he goes in. And once he sees that ball go in, it's a, for him individually, it's just a chance to breathe. And then you started seeing some of the things that he can bring to Liverpool, and the movement of the ball, and the speed, and his ability to work in spaces where he can then get in inside the 18-yard box and be an option for crosses coming in. He showcased in those 45 minutes a lot of the things that make him the player that Liverpool think he can be for this club. But I think confidence is a major part, and being able to score goal after goal after goal after goal then puts you in a different level entirely in terms of confidence. And I think now he frees himself up to just really showcase all his ability.
And that's it. As much as we can poo-poo preseason friendlies and what they actually mean regarding the results, confidence is something you can't buy, that you can't get on the training pitch.
That's what free preseason friendlies are about. They're about the individual. They're about finding your rhythm, finding your form. And Darwin Nunes did exactly that. That's the ask of him. Listen, there's a lot he came into this preseason with in terms of, and Jurgen Klopp touched on it, his price tag, which adds pressure to it. An expectation, the void left by Sadio Mane, coming into as successful a team as Liverpool. And then the expectation under Jurgen Klopp. Now, we always give players that kind of honeymoon period to settle in, but nobody's really needed that with Jurgen Klopp and the way they've settled in. So now the expectation is that once Jurgen Klopp signs you, you're going to score in the first 10 or 15 minutes. But it doesn't always work that way. But to your point, Dan, this is exactly what you are looking for out of preseason friendlies. It's not about the result. It's about being better than you were in the last game.
Right.
And he did that.
I'm going to throw a name out there of a guy whose confidence was damaged in preseason and never really settled. Alvaro Morata. Came with a big price tag. He was going to be the guy. He was going to score goals. Misses a penalty in preseason, then goes into the regular season, never really catches any sort of rhythm. Confidence goes down, and then he disappears. You don't want that to happen. You want the other trajectory to happen, and that is, I score this goal, I score the next one. Now everybody around the team trusts me to do their job. Now the difference in reaction from your teammates. When you score four goals, even if it is preseason, it's four goals in 45 minutes against top-level opposition, whatever you may think of Leipzig, well, it's a competitive team. Four goals, 45 minutes is impressive. Yeah. And so the players around him would also be impressed by that and say, hey, this guy can give us something. I don't care what he did in the last couple of games, because you're now focused on the repetition that you just got and the four goals and the productivity that you just provided. That's going to be important for Darwin Nunez individually.
Liverpool, of course, still out there as one of the favourites alongside Manchester City to win the Premier League title. Chelsea, though, doing their best to get themselves into the conversation. Koundé looks like he will be making the move from Sevilla to Chelsea. For those who haven't seen him, Luis, how would you describe him and how do you think he's going to fit into this team?
Perfectly. Dan is one of those special defenders. Barcelona still, I read until this afternoon, actually a couple hours ago, that Barcelona is still trying to sign him because Chelsea haven't done yet the move to sign it. But definitely is one of those centre-backs that is young, is boldness, strong, is good with the ball. Everything. He's got everything to become one of the best centre-backs in Europe. After Rudiger left Chelsea, Tuchel knows very well that if he wants to be successful in Premier League, you need to be very well organized at the back. And then he signed Koulibaly and he's ready to spend a lot of money on another centre-back of the caliber of Koundé. And yeah, I think he's very close to sign it. But again, I heard that it's still Barcelona trying to put some problems, trying to use that to sign. And if not, he's going to go and move to Chelsea, where I'm sure that they're going to be receiving him with open arms.
Imagine Barcelona just running a little IOU slip to Sevilla. I'll put pay you back, don't worry. I promise it'll be fine. Runs. Hey, 5'10", same size as me as well.
Wait a minute.
5'11".
On a box, on a 2-foot box.
All right.
I do think that the guy who's most excited from Chelsea's perspective is Thiago Silva, because the possibility of Jules Koundé on the right-hand side of him and then Koulibaly frees him up to just be the leader of that back line and have the correct angle that just in case these guys get beaten, he's always going to get to the ball first because he'll be able to read it ahead of the attacking player. Thiago Silva is going to thrive in an environment in which Koundé can run, Koulibaly can run, and it allows him to then not only be the leader of the back line, but a ball-playing leader of the back line. Koundé would be a perfect fit for Chelsea.
Can this team win the league, Shaka?
No. Not a league that includes Manchester City and Liverpool. This is a very good team, but I don't see them as being better than those two. And a lot about this Chelsea reminds me of last season's Chelsea, in that I think in Havertz, do you get the goals that you need? And while it's a good team, I just feel it lacks that balance. Outstanding defensively, but if you aren't finding the back of the net regularly up the other end, it puts a lot of pressure on a very good defense. Mm. The same happens here the other way around. Defensively, when you can't keep clean sheets and all the pressure's on the strikers, that imbalance always costs you. So the question is, do you find the goals you need from a front line of Mount, Sterling and Havertz? As of right now, not enough goals to suggest they get the better of Liverpool and City.
And just a reminder, to keep up to date with all the latest transfer news, check out Transfer Talk over on the website.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sadio Mane was awarded the African Player of the Year award today after a sensational season for club, but more, of course, for country as well. An extraordinary season with Senegal, of course, a key part of the side winning the African Cup of Nations and beating Egypt in that qualifier to guarantee a place in the World Cup later this year. It's interesting, isn't it, when you take a look at this, Luis, maybe domestically an argument that Salah deserved it, but once you put in what Mane did internationally, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was amazing during the whole season, like you will say, not only in the domestic but also internationally with the national team, and definitely deserved it. Of course, everybody's going to be making the comparison with Mo Salah. They were rivals. They also, I think, they were rivals inside the team, Liverpool, because of those moments of every one of those players wanted to be top scorer. It was a clean fight in between them, but you could see that both of them wanted to be the main man. And at the end, I think he decided to make the move, try to find a different challenge and move into Bayern Munich, and now just received that award that is well deserved. I think it was the most important player for Senegal, making the World Cup qualification and winning that trophy. So yeah, very impressive, and let's see, all the best for him for next season in Bayern Munich.
Salah did win the Football Writers Player of the Year in England.
Yeah, I think it shows how thin those margins are. Had Egypt got the better of Senegal, had they won the penalty shootout in the Africa Cup of Nations final, I think Salah wins it, and nobody has much of an argument about that. So you see exactly how close it is. But as it stands, given Senegal's successes, I have no complaint with Mane winning it at all.
Neither do I, and I have to say that even in the domestic competition, while the numbers for Mohamed Salah are better than those of Sadio Mane, towards the end of the season, Salah faded away. His performances were not nearly as explosive, dynamic, nor productive as what we saw from Sadio Mane.
I thought that Sadio Mane towards the end of the season was the most important player for Liverpool in the attack, whereas Mohamed Salah came up short. And so did Liverpool, by the way.
Thank you very much, Ali. Just a reminder, plenty of content over on our YouTube channel where we have now hit 1.5 million subscribers.
We're coming up.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Place in the semi-finals of Euro 2022 at stake today as Belgium took on Sweden. What a match it would prove to be. Here's Seb and the crew to break it down.
Thank you very much, Dan. Emma, Steffi with me here in studio as Sweden punches their spot in the semifinals alongside Germany and England. They do so with a narrow, narrow victory over Belgium. 1-0 at the death. How'd they get it done?
A set piece, more than 50% of their goals have come from that, and 12 corners, one of them actually paid off. I mean, frustrating second half by Sweden, created enough chances first half, and, you know, ultimately that last-minute goal has got them through.
All right, you laugh at the word frustration. Why? Yes. Because I sensed it from both of you when we were watching Sweden in this game, even though they won.
Yeah, but, I mean, she's such a coach, and she just lives it, and she watches the game, and she's just, like, getting frustrated seeing, knowing that Sweden has such a quality, mm-hmm. had so many chances, and even Belgium fight it, and they were really doing a great job defensively, and their goalie, Hayward, she was unbeatable almost, but still, when you got so many chances, you have to score earlier.
Especially when you dump the balls on top of the keeper, and they did it all game. It paid off, second phase moment, you know, an unlikely goal scorer, but it's probably what they needed because I didn't think the front three looked like scoring in the second half once they didn't take the chances.
Is there a solution for Sweden from a tactical or personnel standpoint that they could try moving on?
They have to work harder. Breaking down lower blocks. When teams sit deeper, I think they struggle. I think when they play England, I actually think it'll be a bit more open and it will suit Sweden to play that type of game.
While we have a second here, why don't we actually take a look at the bracket and get a look at what the final four will look like when it's all said and done. What do you think about that Sweden-English matchup?
Well, I feel like the Swedish team, hopefully, I mean, you know, all the teams were kind of getting better each game. Mm-hmm. And now here, Sweden has a brilliant opponent with England, a favorite team also, that is hard to take. And maybe they grow over their normal strengths and just show that they're
Maybe it's their game they have to suffer
maybe.
Sweden,
yes.
You know what I mean, and dig something out. Mm. Because it wasn't an inspirational performance. It was quite dull at times, but they've dug it out with a set piece and something that is hugely significant to that team.
If you're looking at it from the English perspective, I know you will to some extent, what's your big worry with Sweden?
In terms of England defending, I think it's Blackstenius's pace. I think she could cause problems. If England press high and England and Sweden solve that press, I think she could cause some problems. And I think set pieces, I think, is where England will be really, really tested.
Do you think Sweden can hurt England?
Well, with the set pieces, for sure. And when they turn over, when they have to speed, and that's what Emma is saying, then they can be dangerous, but they really have to have this willing that really, you know, you have to make those runs and get behind the defense, and they showed it once, twice, but it's
going to be a good physical matchup.
You
watch. It'll be like a women's Super League game in England, which would be a cracker to watch. There'll be a lot of challenges.
All right, so Sweden versus England in the semifinals. Dan, I know you will be watching. We send it back to you.
And we'll be looking back at that game on the next edition of the show. Be sure to join us.
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Preseason friendly between two teams that predominantly play in yellow. Borussia Dortmund against Villarreal. Thanks for that, Dan.
Good preparation.
No, I'm really confused. It would be Villarreal, though, who would play in yellow, and it would be Villarreal who would open the scoring for Gerard Moreno.
Tight angle to start with, hits it at pace to the keeper, and off the rebound, she has a nice little first touch just to collect, and cool with the finish.
Into the second half we go, where the team in yellow would double their advantage. Chukwueze.
It's a good turn from Chukwueze inside a tight space. Finds that far post. Beautiful finish. Controlled finish. The yellow team wins.
They do indeed. Just a reminder, the Bundesliga once again on ESPN this season. Every single match available on ESPN+. Borussia Dortmund start their campaign with a tricky home tie against Bayer Leverkusen. Would you like some transfer news?
Sure.
There we go. Let's start off with some German transfer news, shall we? David Rahm moving from Hoffenheim to Leipzig. Meanwhile, Schalke's club spent a lot of money, 36 million euros, to get Skamaka from Sassuolo to West Ham. Meanwhile, Jesse Lingard has made that free move from United to Forest. Chris Richards, the US international, will be playing his trade in the Premier League next season, making that move from Bayern Munich. Dani Alves, meanwhile, is going to Liga MX. He'll be playing for Puma as a reaction to that on the latest edition of Football Americas, which is available now on ESPN+. Speaking of Plus, goodness gracious me, look at all these MLS matches that are available this weekend. There are a lot of them, all on Saturday. That's a lot of games. Starts at 7 o'clock with NYCFC against Inter Miami, and it finishes with Portland against San Jose. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for joining us, but if you want more, and who wouldn't want more of Dr. Schalke here, so,
yes.
Well, it's coming up on Extra Time, which is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Look at Luis Garcia, tanned, loving life. Ali Moreno's here as well. That's his jacket. Yeah,
not tanned, not loving life.
For Luis, what does João Felix need to do to take the next step in his career and be in the conversation as a top five player in the world?
Huh?
Would leaving Atleti be best?
Well, I guess everybody's been talking about the consistency. I think we all agree that he's a fantastic player, a lot of talent, ability, creativity. He's got gold. He was one of the top scorers last season. But that consistency, what I think that Simeone has been asking from his side. Last year, he ended up very well, and I think that's the way he's going to start this season. Simeone knows that he's a key player if they want to be successful this season, trying to achieve Champions League final or arriving until the last part of the La Liga season with chances of winning it, but definitely that consistency is needed. How is that? I guess he's going to need games, he's going to need a little bit of patience from Simeone, but Simeone is not ready for that, so he needs to start delivering from the first minute. I think that he's one of the best players in Europe, one of the young talents, but he needs to continue that consistency needed. He needs to play every single weekend, giving that 7, 8, 9 grade that is needed from a talent like he is.
Luis, do you think Isco wasted his time at Real Madrid? I know he won titles, but individually he did not shine like a legendary player, Raul, Iniesta or Xavi.
I think that he was one of the most unbelievable players that the Spanish national team had. I think Real Madrid had one of the most important talents that we had, and probably we don't give the credit that he deserves. It's true that he's a special player. He's not a player who you're going to put to run behind the ball. He needs to be on the ball. but every single time he had the ball, everything could happen. He's got that talent, that creativity, that you couldn't take the ball away from him. He's one of those players that even though that I'm not a Real Madrid supporter, I enjoy watching play. I put the TV to watch Real Madrid because of these kind of players, and Isco was one of them. So I think that he's one of those special players that Real Madrid allowed to leave and to give him the chance to find another challenge. But he's one of those that you want in your team every single week.
Here we go, Ali. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that Brazilian Ronaldo is better than Cristiano when compared in their respective primes? Cristiano had more goals a season and in calendar year consecutively. He had more assists too, trophies, etc.
Right. I'm talking about the prime of each player. The very best level of each player. I like Brazilian Ronaldo. He is... And was at the pinnacle of his career, the combination of so many different players that we see nowadays. He had strength, power. Defenders would bounce off of him. And while he was doing that, he still had the ability in tight spaces that you see from a guy like Lionel Messi. So imagine Messi with strength, power, dynamic movement where defenders are coming to challenge and they don't even have to stand a chance because they bounce off of him with that sort of strength, with that sort of power, with that sort of explosion. Brazilian Ronaldo, his issue was not whether his pinnacle was the best it could possibly be. It's that his pinnacle was very short for whatever reason. Some would suggest that the parting didn't help. Others would suggest that injuries played a major role. Regardless, we just didn't see how long that pinnacle could be. And that's why he doesn't rank above some of these other players in the history of the game. But for me, his best was better than most.
I think I prefer to party with Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yes, yes, that too. Yes.
I think that
why do you look at me when you say that?
Yep. I'm just saying.
I just don't know why you look at me.
This is a conversation, please, Shaka.
It's not a conversation I want to have, Dan.
Why are you pretending that you've never partied, Shaka, in your life?
Yeah. What? What's the next question?
I've seen you party.
Wait, but you do like Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Ahead of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes. What?
Where do you stand on this, Luis?
I'm with the guys. I'm with Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo. I just enjoy more. That's why we were talking before. I enjoy watching these kind of plays, even though
you hate Real Madrid. You don't count, Luis.
Oh, he just said he turns on the TV to watch Real Madrid.
Yeah, and then he turns off to watch Cristiano Ronaldo.
You're talking about not Real Madrid. Yeah. You're talking about Ronaldo, and Ronaldo, he got part of Barcelona, so I can say that I enjoy very much Ronaldo.
Ali, did you ever consider playing in Liga MX?
I did. And
if Hercules can score goals there, surely you could have done.
Anybody can score goals. If Hercules can score goals there.
You guys said it. I did not say it. But it's a very valid point. Well put. Well said. And there were moments in which perhaps there were opportunities to do so. You know, you have to remember the profile of the Venezuelan player now is much different than what it was 30 years ago. And to think about the possibility of playing in Mexico wasn't all that realistic. And so I sort of had to find my way where I could find an opportunity coming from Venezuela, and that was Major League Soccer. By the time I had established myself as a player in Major League Soccer, I was getting a little older to the point to where now playing abroad wasn't nearly as appealing as it would have been before, because by then I had a family, I had kids, wife, and then so I was thinking more about the stability of the family rather than my individual dreams.
It's all about the family, Ali.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's
over it. His individual. What a guy.
Luis, on the other hand, traveled the world in coaching. Oh,
just pack them all up. We're moving again, kids.
How did you enjoy your experience in Mexico, Luis?
Very much, very much. One of the best experiences. I was expecting a good football. It was very intense, tough, difficult, fantastic crowds. A lot of passion from their supporters, and definitely one of the most incredible situations that I faced, because you could go to Cancun where it was 95 humidity and then go to Toluca where it was 3,100 meter height. So it was this kind of different situations that put you to the edge, and well, I enjoyed very much. Football was great in Mexico, so good fun for 3 years.
Shaka,
we keep hearing about discussing whether or not players fit a manager's system. Did you or any of your teams find it tough to play a manager's way?
Well,
if a manager wanted you to play out the back, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah, but nobody wanted to back then.
That's a bonus.
Yeah, everybody just wanted to kick the ball, as we keep discussing. So, as far as a goalkeeper, no. I'm trying to think of players who maybe didn't suit a certain style. And I can't say I played with too many players like that.
Right.
Newcastle was all about attack, and Keegan recruited players accordingly. Harry would just find spots for whoever he brought in. So he never had that much of an issue with players himself either.
What about you, Louise?
No, actually, no, I haven't. Every single time that I've seen, of course, when a manager arrives to a club, what he tries to do is try to adapt the system to the players you got. You always have the football intelligence from the player's perspective, and then you need to understand what kind of player you have to try to fit it in. But I haven't seen that kind of situation on a player. Yes, of course, you got anarchy players where you don't know where they are come from, but definitely at the end, they feed into the system like everybody else.
For Ali, what do you think the game is lacking nowadays compared to your playing days? On the other hand, what is the game doing great today compared to your era?
I would say hold-up play, playing with back-to-goal. And selfishly, that is something that my game was very much,
right.
I would suggest, something that I look to do.
Right.
And one of the few things that
just
I did really well.
Can you show us, Ali, how it would come in? What would your technique be?
The technique was very simple, Dan. I'm a little bit wider than most center forwards.
Right.
And so I was
by design.
Yes, that's it. Backside out. And it was more like a turtle mode. You know, you just kind of did it was like this. See? Nobody can get through that. Hold up play. With my back to goal.
I'm not sure anybody wants to get through that. That's the issue.
What we need to bring back is turtle mode.
Turtle mode was fantastic.
Goodness me.
Like, the point of playing with your back to goal and hold up play, I think a lot of players nowadays, because of the false nine or however the attacking players think of themselves, they don't think that that's an important part of the game. And I think it's critical for the success of teams if you have a guy that you can play the ball into, release some pressure, and then you have all your playmakers coming from behind.
What do you think, Luis? What's the game like lacking these days?
For me, it's about creativity. I think we are missing those special players who can break defenders. It's very difficult to find, and they always have, top teams have, but it's very difficult to find those special players that when they're on the ball, something can happen. The game is becoming more powerful, it's faster, players are more athletes, but I think that creativity we are losing in every single year.
What about turtle mode? He doesn't like turtle mode.
When did you start on turtle mode?
I'm not sure the game was ever like turtle mode.
It's ironic because that's your speed as well.
Yes, I mean, with turtle mode across the board.
What's the game doing great today, Shaka? Lots of love for goalkeepers, more. 80 million, 90 million for a goalkeeper.
It's about time you get some respect in this game. I think the pace of the game is certainly one that it has made it a lot more exciting as you go over the years. But then a lot of that is down to the science and understanding physique, etc. So just that ability of players to go at that pace for the full 90 minutes, I think, adds to the spectacle.
And the quality of the pitches. Like, there's that video of Stevie and all the goals that he scored, and you're playing on unbelievably bad surfaces compared to now, where it's...
So when I was back in Newcastle, I went to see St. James's Park, and of course, this is pre-season, and it honestly is like a carpet. It really is ridiculous. And then speaking to the Dornsman, happened to be there, they were fourth or fifth in terms of pitch of the season.
Right.
To think that they are far better pitches than Newcastle, I was just...
Wait a minute, there's a ranking?
Hampton used to win it.
It's huge.
When you were training at Pompey, was it? You used to train in the park?
We was having a discussion at Reading as well at one point.
Wow.
Reading at one point, we didn't have access to the training ground. It's a long story. And we just train in public parks. We just show up in a public park and hope to find a space that we could conduct some kind of a training session.
Shaq, you just mentioned players' physique. How is your physique these days?
Svelte.
Okay. I'll go with. Dr. Hislop.
Yeah, you know.
When was the moment, Luis, you realized it's over in regards to being professional soccer
when,
player?
When he came to the studio, his first ESPN show, wow, he was like, that's it, God. I'm done.
Hey, player of the year in the Masters.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. I guess for every player is different. For me, I think it was trying to continue enjoying that last part when I went to Australia. I was 38 at that time. I was enjoying very much. I could see that I could help to the team, but I could see that every single week was more difficult. Every single week I had to rest more. I couldn't train every single minute of the training. I had to just a part of it. If I didn't want to feel my muscles maybe with problem or soreness. So I think that was the moment where I said, listen, it's better to leave it like this, because the best thing is that you decided to leave, not that football pushed you out of the game.
I tell you what that sounded like. It sounded to me like when Luis went to Australia, he's like, coach, at my back. Yeah. It's a little tight. Coach, not today.
Yeah, it was like that. Yeah, yeah. Are we doing the squats? No, I can't do that. Yeah. I can't do that.
Was it Petr Cech or Lehmann who told you that you should retire?
It was Lehmann, yes. We won that game, though. We beat Arsenal
7-6.
3-2 it was.
There you are.
Well, West Ham were the last away team to win at Highbury. And that was that game.
No.
When Lehmann just turns to me and go, so what are you going to do at the end of the season? You're going to retire? That's before the game started. I was like, goodness me. Just take that knife out.
Favorite summertime drink is the final question while standing in front of the hot grill. Ah, Luis, what'd you go for?
I'm going for sangria, of course.
Oh, easy no.
Question. Yeah.
See, Luis, wouldn't it be great if you really hated sangria? Like they've got a whole song that's dedicated, and like people would bring you sangria all the time. No, I just want a nice white wine, to be honest.
You can start. I want a spritzer.
You can have it. You can have it without alcohol, so it's fine. I mean, you can enjoy it both ways.
Oh, man. Who, where did the song come from, Luis? Did you start it and then kind of subtly get it into the crowd?
I don't know. I guess it was the right... I mean, the English, when they go to Spain, most of them, they drink sangria in the summer, yeah, because it's all over the coast. It's like a typical drink so in the summer. So I guess that because Garcia and Sangria kind of have that rhythm, so they decided to put it. But not because at that time I used to drink, because I didn't drink until when I was 32 or something like that, so right, not for a chance.
He didn't drink until he went to Australia.
Ali, summertime drink?
Oh, it's coming. It's coming next week.
You're on holiday next week.
That's the first thing that's going to happen. I'm going to put a piña colada in my hand.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. I'm in Russ in Madrid in a dodgy karaoke bar with you in a piña colada.
Yes. It was a big piña colada.
It was.
It's like a fishbowl piña colada.
Shaka?
Over a hot grill, you have to drink a beer.
Yes.
If you're grilling, you have to drink beer.
Yeah, very nice.
It's a must.
Yes, indeed. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show, where we'll all be leaving thirsty now. Just a reminder, ESPN SC back on your screen. I think Craig's here, speaking of thirsty. Be sure to join us.